o'clock on Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
Oh, it's Kiva on Indie News. It's Kiva Artist Interview. Right now on Butterflies
Radio,
where it's all indie all the
Welcome to this week's Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight with Travis Zindri, who is also known as MK Ultra. MK Ultra, if anybody's familiar, is a name that the CIA gave to a mind control project they started doing during World War II. And that's kind of where Travis got the name for his solo project. He had been a bass guitarist in bands before, but this is his first solo project. And according to his bio on Reverb Nation, he said, "If anything, I feel like a patient during something similar to Project MK Ultra practices by the CIA. I'm constantly under test for my health. I spend the majority of my time in doctor's offices and trying to figure out what the best formula is for pain control, sleep deprivation, and post-traumatic stress disorder. With a lot of medications, I have had bad reactions too. So it's back to the drawing board with a lot of experimentation. However, on the upside, it has triggered a huge amount of creativity. When your brain goes through this, it affects your emotions and your way of thinking." He explained that during his Reverb Nation bio. You can go there, check out more of what he has to say, more about his bio. You can go to Indie Music Bus, who also just did an interview with him. Listen to my show tonight, which all the music is off of his new album called Documentation, which is going to have its album release party on September 22nd, 7 p.m. at the Artist and Music Awards Breakthrough Series at the Joint, benefiting the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital charity and red carpet event. So he's headlining that. That's also the album release launch night. So if you can, if you're in Hollywood, show up and show him some support, get the album. And if you can, when he goes back out on tour, catch him. He just got off of a two-month tour on the East Coast. So again, enjoy the music tonight from his album Documentation, which you can get soon. The first song of the night is called Welcome to the Hospital off the album Documentation.
Thank you. putting their soldiers through all those things and people committing suicide through taking acid and all that sort of stuff is kind of the same idea. I just try to if I wasn't living it, I wouldn't have named the project that, you know, but I've really, you know, lived it, and it's, you can't fix your life with a bottle of pills. I mean, you have to really dig deep in yourself and, you know, get yourself back up to your normal self, and sometimes that means you're not going to be able to do as much as someone else. Like, you know, I could be on tour for 300 dates of the year, but I've chose not to, you know, just because of my health, you know.
Now, do you feel like in the past 2 years now that you've come, do you feel like you've come out on the other side yet from the car accidents and from the relationship, or do you feel like you're still kind of in that and getting out?
The relationship, I'm very glad I'm out of. You know, I'm usually someone that just thinks too nice, or, you know, I'm a compassionate person. I'm very sensitive and all that. And it was a thing where I kept on hoping she would change, and she didn't. And, you know, that was it. As far as the injuries and the car accidents, my most recent one was November, and it was a very big one. It totaled out my car. I've had to buy several cars since in the past 2 years. So it's really, it's still something I live with, because obviously the pain is there, it's real, but you also have to think of the psychological way of things of, you know, this pill, for one thing, could be very dangerous, and mm-hmm. you don't want to treat it like something lightly. So I'm very careful about my dosage and everything like that, you know. I don't like feeling out of it, you know. I'm just getting to the point, I feel like, where I'm, you know, happy, you know. In the past 2 years, I've been anything but that, and really 4 years through the relationship, I wasn't. So it's been just a long journey that I express through my music.
I think, too, when you're on the medication, that they do that, and they're kind of treating the pain, but, you know, like you've alluded to and kind of said, too, it works on your mind, too. And I think that you do get into that numb, not just your body being numb, but your mind gets numb, and you don't really feel, it's not that your body's not feeling the pain, but you're not feeling things completely like you could, and then you become dependent on the medication because it's gotten you through the pain, and you kind of don't want to give that up, but it really does end up affecting your mind and the whole thing.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is, you know, through this process, I feel like I've earned my doctor's degree or whatever
yep.
you call it. It's like, you know, you have pain receptors in your brain that tells you you're in pain, lets you know you're in pain, and then you kind of go into panic mode. It's like, and with me, that works, you know, 10-hour days at least. It's kind of, you know, it's like, get through it. I remember meeting with lawyers, and I can't name who, but people were just like, you know, just take as much as you have to get through it, because you've been given so much and you have such an opportunity and this and that. And that's completely the wrong way of thinking, and I've had doctors tell me that, you know, well, you know, Mr. Zendry, how much do you want? You know, you have chronic back pain, and the pain's right here on paper and everything like that. But, you know, you have to get your wits about you and take control of the situation. If you listen to what everyone says,
yeah,
you're asking for a death wish.
Now, the first song of the night is called Let's Go, and there's a video for that on my blog, kivainterviewsyou.blogspot.com, and it's also on the event page on Facebook.
You know, I was in, again, like, not little accidents. These were huge accidents where they had to shut down the whole freeway. And,
oh my goodness.
You know, I mean, the first one, how I got alive out of, I have no idea. You know, something, people in L.A., just to get off topic a bit,
yeah.
People in L.A., it amazed me because I was just trying to live. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't, you know, like, I didn't know if I was paralyzed. No, because the impact was that insane. I mean, a full bus hit me from behind, and I got hit 13 times. And but what amazed me was the people of L.A. that are in such a hurry to get places. Everyone got out of their car, and all I remember when I was, you know, out of my car on a stretcher was all the pictures that were being taken of me, you know. And I think that's sick. You know?
Yes.
Because and that image is still drilled into my mind, even though I was fighting for my life at that time. It's like everyone will be an asshole because they're in a rush to get to point A to point B. But when something exciting happens, like someone that they probably thought was dead or something like that, it was that bad, and then get out all your cameras or and film a little video and go home and show whoever you want what happened, to me is sick.
I'm sorry, one, that you had to go through that accident because it sounds terrifying, and two, through the looky-loos, and I have a little insight into that. I was a print journalist before I did this, and when I was doing my I worked for a local newspaper when I was in college, and something that changed everything for me was I saw a picture on the front page one day of a motorcycle helmet in the foreground of the picture cracked, and in the background was a body under a white sheet, and it really affected me to the point that I realized that the family, for generations, for the next 100, 200 years, was always going to have that record of that man's death that way on the front page of the paper. And I never wanted to be the person that exploited somebody's grief and didn't think about the person instead of just the photo opportunity or, you know, what's in the moment. And I ended up, because of that, I went into public relations and did sports journalism. Or feature stories. I didn't want to do news because I didn't want to be put in that position. And then I ended up eventually doing news. And you just got to take those moments and be human and just remember to be human.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. And that's the thing. Like, I personally would never want to see that. I've never wanted to see that. I've never been into watching real dramatic events like that on YouTube or something like that just because it's shocking.
Mm-hmm.
What I was through was truly shocking, but...
Next is my song choice of the night called Killing Angels.
Thank you. watch over me.
That goes back to the music is I went through all this really emotional stuff and I just, you know, put it right into all the song lyrics and all of the artsy part of it, because that was the only way I was going to truly cure myself. I wasn't going to cure myself with anything else. And, you know, it's one of those things when you go through those things, life is so fast-paced now.
It is.
You know, and part of this is my fault. You know, it's like you get in so much debt with the hospital for MRIs and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, you're on close watch with the doctor and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's a lot to take on for one person. And if you tell someone in LA about that, or the world, I mean, I'm not being hating on Los Angeles or anything, but
no, it's okay, just, but you wouldn't be the first person.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just kind of like, not that, you know, I've stopped talking about the accident except in these interviews and whatnot, because that's what the album's based on, is my experiences during the time I was recording it. And but it's like people don't seem to not care. And, you know, I had the impression that, you know, of course my close people, like my family, helped mm-hmm. me and everything else, and helped me get out of that bad situation with, you know, the other female, and helped me get into a much more safe place. So now I feel safe at home, and, you know, all that stuff that's really important that I felt just completely stripped away from me, you know. But the fact is people's mentality today, which is really sad, is just like, oh, you went through this, that's tough, glad you didn't die. If I died, it would have been a different situation. But at the same time, it would have been, for one thing, I really do believe I had a lot more to do on this earth, and mm-hmm. I do believe that it's like, I have this song called Killing Angels on my album, but I think if there was ever an angel, it was there during the bus crash, you know? And, but people, just I think in society in general, I'm just really cold, you know? I just think it's a shame. That's all I was going to say.
I think that people have gotten into this computer age and the video games, and I know people blame that for so long, but having kids now that are grown up, I think you become desensitized. People become desensitized to human suffering, or what the human element of everything is, because everything is so behind a computer screen to them. Or, you know, people can be brave on the computer and say things that they would never say to somebody in person, but it hurts. Words hurt just the same if you said them to somebody's face or behind the screen, or like the people who shot the college student in Oklahoma, you know, because they were bored. I think that people don't think about what happens to the person on the other end.
Yeah, what it is it's newsworthy stuff for America. It's not like you ever turn on the news and maybe they'll have a clip at the end that's good news, but, you know, there's really nothing about good things. You know, I'm doing a charity for St. Jude in LA,
yeah.
And I'm really excited about that, and I think it's for a great cause. And, you know, every CD I sell, I'm going to just give the money right back to the organization. And because, you know, although my music's, most people think it's dark and everything else, it's a way to get out of it, and I expressed it through art rather than feeling sorry for myself, keeping in a bad relationship, and all that sort of stuff. I had to take control of things.
And now you get to give back, and doing things like headlining the concert for the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, the charity, and the red carpet event. And that's through the Artist and Music Awards, right?
Yeah.
You know, I got to come to the Artist and Music Awards in February, and it was great, and I wish that I was closer, because I'd love to go to these events, because Mikey J does a great job. He always has great people that are there, and that, you know, Glitter Rose, I met her when I was there in February. I just love her. Mm. And I'm really glad that I've, you know, become friends with her and with Mikey through it. It's just, I'm in Kentucky, so I'm a long way away from there.
Next up is the song Welcome to the Pharmacy.
That's when you'll die. you're farther. Just keep moving on. Time is what grandparents do.
We'll make you slow down. We'll turn your dreams into nightmares. Welcome to the hypocrisy. We'll make you overdose, but kill your pain and set you free.
Take it all in, it's just everything that makes you up. Take it all in, here is everything to fuck you up.
But I really enjoyed getting to be there and be in that. And I know a lot of people have said, I just don't like being in Hollywood, or I don't like being in L.A. You know, it's just, it's too much. And I enjoyed it. I just saw it as a neighborhood, you know, and there's just music. I don't know. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I wasn't overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
It was just really cool.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, for me, I came out here because my career is out here. You know, I do music, and I'm lucky enough to, you know, make money off it, because a lot of people don't, you know. So
right,
I just considered myself really lucky, you know.
Now, did you do music before the accident, or was that kind of a catalyst for you?
That was my catalyst to be a solo artist. You know, all of the instruments played, in all the lyrics, of course, are mine. And what I did was, I got a crash course of Pro Tools from my friend, recorded it in my my place very late at night, and then brought it to Tommy Walter from the Eels and Abandoned Pools. And then got Gavin Morrison, who's done a bunch of Grammy records, to master it. But I did play music before the accident. But the catalyst for doing a solo project and doing everything myself, it was definitely kind of like, yeah, okay, it's time for me to come out in the spotlight. I was mostly a bass player, backup singer, and my other outfits, and we had, you know, really good followings on the East Coast and whatnot, and I just got back from an East Coast tour with MK, so, yeah, it was good. It was sold a ton of CDs and was really appreciated, and that's all you can ask for, you know, and got good pay from the clubs, you know, it's good.
And your music, what I found with it is, and this is something that I don't always get to hear, and it is something you hear more in LA, and hearing when I was there, it's very electronic and kind of club driven. Did you write it with that intention that it would be kind of club music?
You mean my music kind of being electronic and whatnot?
Yeah.
I've always been interested in like bands like Nine Inch Nails and that sort of thing. So, I've kind of gotten bored from past projects I've been in. That's just like kind of like, well, plug in the guitar and play some catchy songs. With this, I just like, it influenced me to do a new type of music, and a good thing, but very song driven too, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not I don't necessarily want people to trance out to my music and dance on the dance floor. I don't think it's that, but I do think it's it can fit, and I can see how people say it's electronic, like a lot of people will say, you know, solo electronic artists, MK Ultra and all that sort of stuff. But it's good that I've been able to break into the radio scene and, you know, be alongside a lot of rock bands and as well as electronic bands. And I think it's good for children today to have, Pro Tools, you can have the best equipment you can for very cheap. So it's good for the people that want to make music on their own. It's bad for the huge recording studios.
I know they're kind of going down, you know, and like labels, because people don't have to have the major labels anymore to be able to put out good music. And that's a message that I try to pass along as much as I can, is that indie doesn't mean that they're less than anybody else. They're the same musicians, the same things. They just don't have a major label behind them telling them what to do. And I think it's much more honest when it's indie music, because
yeah,
it is coming from within, and it's not, nobody's telling you what to write. It's coming from your heart. It's coming from your soul. And it's coming from your experiences and not what somebody's telling you to do.
Next song is On Lockdown.
No.
I've worked in A&R at major record companies, and I actually got, I can't say the label, but I got offered a record deal, you know, for this project, like, 3.5 months into it, you know, because a lot of those people are on my mailing list, and they found out about the project, and they thought the songs were really catchy, and it's a new sound, but I wanted to make sure I came out with this project, like you said, like completely from my heart and do it exactly my way and everything like that. And when you look at the longevity of careers, people are usually like, well, I really love what they did before they were in the major labels.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, you get more people to hear, but your die-hard fans don't care about if you're on Universal Records or Warner Brothers or Sony. They just don't, and you can actually lose fans from that. Not saying that I'm anti-record label or anything like that. It just wasn't the right time for me.
I think it's anti-genuine more for me, more than the label. I really feel like people give up that creative control to be told what to do, and it's a control thing. And
oh, I'm chaos.
I like people to just say, no, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, a lot of people compare the music business to MK Ultra. It's just like in a different way. It's mind manipulation. It's like, you want to have the fame and everything like this, but you're going to have to give up that. I don't need that right now.
No, you get to have what you want. And for you, I'm wondering, when you were going through the healing process, and I know it had to be a long process of rehab and everything going through it, and there probably was a long time where you couldn't really get out and be mobile. Was this a retreat for you to get to have that? It was a way for you to still get out there and, I don't know, just put yourself out there and get to do something instead of just lay around.
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing is when I wake up in the morning, I really am motivated, even if I'm hurt. So it's like, I'm not going to sit around and feel sorry for myself because I'm in pain. It's like, I have a life to live, and I want to live a happy one. So I never got to the point, like, after the accidents, I took maybe 2-3 days off just because I wasn't physically able to, you know, because I work in the music business too, you know, for that time. But no, it's like, I'm just not that type of person that can watch movies all day and stuff
right.
like that. Like, I have all this creativity that I need to do to fulfill myself.
It was good that you had a whole album that you could kind of therapeutically go through the process, because being a writer, I understand that, because you can have the dark moments in your life or those times, and to write it down, really, you can, even though it's recorded and it's music and you listen to it or other people listen to it, you can still kind of put it away. You've recorded it and you, like in a book, you write it and you put it away, and you don't have to revisit it if you don't want to, but that can be where that dark time is. And you don't have to keep carrying it around with you.
Yeah. Yeah, with music, it's a little different, because, you know I'll always hear these songs on certain radio stations I'm really close with and all that, but it's one of those things. I've chose to be an artist that is just completely honest, upfront, and, you know, I'm not going to, like, I'm already working on my second album that will be ready next year, and, you know, it's one of those things, but I'm not going to harp on the accident for that album. It's like, on to better things, you know?
On to the next thing, and hopefully you won't have another accident, so you don't have to write about another one, you know? I hope you're accident-free now.
Yeah, I just write about what's around me, and I get inspired by everything, you know, like, I tend to be a pretty quiet person and pretty shy, so, like, I don't know, I just, it's always in the back of my brain, you know, songs just come to me, and then I work them out with my producer and record them, so, I mean, that's the way it is, and, you know, hopefully the next album, well, I've already decided. We already have two songs completely recorded that
there you go.
That don't have any pill references or, this is more of a, I think, as much as it sounds, the next album is going to be a coming up album and coming out of all this. I think documentation is basically rock bottom. I hope I don't have to write another album like that.
I hope not either.
Yeah. But I hope people listen to it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that being said, I still think that it's really good music that I think it does pull you in, and you really do. I know you said not necessarily have everybody trance out on the dance floor, but I really found myself, I did want to close my eyes, and I do that. I'm one of those people, I don't necessarily have to be up on the stage, you know, right up against the stage. I like to sit back and kind of feel the music. If it's really good, I just want to close my eyes and kind of feel what the whole mood is and feel the music from that standpoint. And I found myself doing that, you know, and just to have the music move through me. So that's good. It's music that reaches out to people.
And the next song is called Here Comes the Flood.
The U.S. has been great to you. Then someone passes away. To deal with your loss, you drink and get high. Gotta get up, back on your feet, and just black it out like nothing ever happened. Forget about your mind and shoot dots on a screen like a video game.
Ooh.
And one more quick question that I was told to ask you about.
Sure.
Apparently, you have a huge CD collection. So how big is your collection, and how did you start that?
Well, everyone has their thing to collect, I guess. And I've been collecting CDs since I was 13, and it was kind of just like something I looked forward, like, every week whenever I got my allowance.
Yeah.
You know, I would, when I was, you know, just a little kid, I would ride my bike down to the record store that was, I lived in Maine, that's where I grew up, and the record store was like 14 miles away, so to get a CD,
wow,
I rode my bike like 14 miles, and so I've been, it was just one of those things that when I was a kid, I bought a ton, and that's really what shaped me as a musician, listening to different stuff, you know. I'm not the type of person just to listen to one type of music, so my dad got me into music, too. I mean, he was a bass player and everything, and he's like, hey, you should check out Tom Waits, and so, you know, I'd drive my bike and go pick up a Tom Waits album. So, yeah, that's how it happened.
What's the first CD that you got?
First CD I got? I believe it was Nirvana Unplugged.
Wow. You're young. I remember when CDs first came out, and I was like, I don't want to give up my vinyl. So, you know, we all had those days.
I'm not young. But thank you for saying that.
Next up is Dive.
As everything goes black.
Two questions that I ask on my show all the time, you can answer them right in a row or not, is if you're on tour, been on tour, or anybody coming to L.A., anywhere you've been, what is the one food place that you tell everybody they have to go to or you have to go to just to get your fix of something, and what is it that you have to get there for?
Say that again, food place?
Yeah, I'm a total foodie. Okay. When I travel, I want to get something that kind of tells me that's where I'm at.
To be honest, I won't use my hometown, even though it's like a restaurant city. I'd have to say, if you love pizza, don't go to New York City. Go to like Albany in that area, because they really make pizza right. And it's not, you know, like a thin, big New York slice. It's got, like, you're like, eating the meal when you eat a slice of pizza.
Awesome. I like that kind of stuff, where you fold it up and eat it. And yeah. And the second one is, when you're on tour, do you have any good stories from the road? Something that just... that happened to you, good, bad, or whatever, that just kind of stuck with you, that it's a story that you just can't shake?
Well, you know, I've never had anything really embarrassing happen to me. I mean, people have actually asked me this question before. I guess what I can't shake is people asking for my autograph. Because I think that's really flattering. It's like, mm-hmm. to have me just, for one thing, I'm terrible at cursive. And to ask for my autograph, it's just flattering. I mean, I'm just, as far as I'm concerned, I'm no higher than my audience, you know?
Right.
It's just flattering. It's shocking that people, but... again, it comes down to the songs and the music. You know, people mm-hmm. tell me they're really touched and whatnot.
And I think that's something that, at least with indie, you're a little bit closer to the artist, I think, where a lot of times you can kind of be separate from them. And, you know, I've gotten to know a lot of artists, and they really are just regular people. And that was, you know, kind of a learning process for me. They put their pants on the same as I do every day. So.
Oh yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Some of them have uncontrollable egos, but I do not.
And the next song is called "Welcome to the Pharmacy" off the album Documentation. Thank you. And the last song of the night that we'll close the show out with is called Preparation, again off of MK Ultra's album Documentation. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Travis. Thank you so much, Travis, for taking the time to talk to me and sharing your music with everyone. And I keep hoping that you'll have a great road to recovery and that everything will get better real soon. Can't wait to hear the next album and where it goes from here. I also want to take the time tonight to give a shout out. I mentioned her on the show, Glitter Rose. I met Glitter Rose at the Artist and Music Awards in February, and she's just a fantastic musician person, works really hard. And we had an incident here where I live, where an exchange student was badly injured in an accident while he's here. And he's a long way from home without the comforts of home. And I found out that he liked to play guitar. And he's going to be here for a while, recuperating and getting better. And I asked Glitter Rose if she knew how we could get a guitar to him. Yeah, I know that music is such good therapy. And would there be a way, you know, to get that to him and help him with his recovery? And leave it to her, within 5 hours, she let me know that, yes, somebody was going to help out with that. And I really want to thank Glitter for reaching out to her friend Shane Tucker and his mom PK Tucker, and for what they're doing to contribute to do this. And I really just can't tell you how much it means to me to be able to know that I have people in my life through this that I could reach out to and get help to help somebody, you know, who's in our country for longer than they expected to be, to get through this and heal. And again, thank you so much, Shane, and your mom, PK, and Glitter Rose. You all rock.